Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi guys, and welcome to episode 46 of Hashtag No Filter. Today's episode is sponsored by Babelash, and if you are looking for your eyelashes or eyebrows to look fuller and longer, definitely check out their products. Go to babelash.com, type in clutter at checkout, C-L-U-T-T-E-R, and you'll get 20% off your order. Now, today's episode was such a fun one to record. I got to record with Madeline Edwards, who is an incredibly, incredibly talented, successful musician. She is an amazing singer, and we got to talk about all the things. We talked about the music industry, dating in the music industry, how it's been for her, the hardest part of it, the best part of it, everything about her world, which is such an exciting world, especially when you are so not in that world at all. And I just, it was so interesting. We also talked a lot about The Bachelorette, and we talked a lot about all sorts of things, not just music. And it was just such a fun episode. We drank lots of champagne, and we kind of didn't want the episode to end. So I think you're going to love it. So keep on listening. And here's Madeline Edwards on episode 46 of Hashtag No Filter. Welcome, Madeline. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Julie?
I'm good. We're drinking our champagne.
Yes,
and
I'm drinking
I'm
a
very
lot of it.
Excited about this. We just said we've already like touched base on a couple of things, and I'm like, wait, we need this for the episode. We can't
like,
really go there yet. So we really haven't spoken much. So you're hearing everything for the first time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start. Tell everyone a little background about you, how you got into the music industry, mm-hmm. just kind of your story leading up to today.
Okay. Let's see. My name is Madeline. I'm 26. I grew up in California. I was listening to a bunch of jazz in California. We weren't allowed to listen to anything.
In your family?
In my family, other than jazz and classical. We were very, I wouldn't say sheltered because we're actually very progressive. It's weird. I think our parents just like didn't like pop music. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. They're like, we're not going to expose you to that right now.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so we grew up on jazz and classical, and I didn't even know about anyone like Britney Spears or the Backstreet Boys until I was like 14 or 15,
really?
When it was completely irrelevant by
because
that time.
Because you weren't allowed to listen to that
yeah,
in your house.
Yeah, because we weren't allowed to watch Disney Channel or cartoons. We watched like TCM Turner Classic Movies.
Yes, so my grandma loves that station.
I still love that station.
Yeah, no, it's great.
I watch everything in the world now, like Game of Thrones and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Now I'm still like, man, I just love some good old classic.
Turner Classic, totally, totally.
So
when you were, but did you like music?
Oh, I loved it.
All, like ever since
my
you
whole
were
life.
Little.
Yeah, since I was able to process what music was.
Yeah.
So like two or three. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, I love music. You know,
oh
I started
gosh.
Playing piano when I was four, started singing when I was four. And then I think maybe that by the time I was like six or seven, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow. That's, and did your family agree? Like they kind of,
yeah,
and
they were totally
all for
about
it.
They were so for it.
Wow.
Like they knew at a young age that like I was going to do music and they were like, oh, she has a talent in it. And, you know, like hopefully she'll want to see this through into her adult life. And they saw me through it to my adult life.
So did you start, you're probably about to get there, but like as I'm asking you this, but did you start when you were young performing for group, like for at not bars when you're six, I guess, but like did you start performing at that age or?
No. So when I was younger, I mean, I did like piano recitals.
Okay, got it.
And like the basic like children's choir
right.
and different things like that. I didn't start performing in bars and jazz clubs until I was about 13 or 14.
Oh, but still young.
Still young. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I had to lie about my age to get into some of them.
What did
and my
you,
parents were totally about
they
it.
They were about it? Did
they
you have a fake
care.
ID?
Or no, I didn't have a fake ID, but I would just like dress older. Like I've always kind of looked a little bit older for my age. So I would just like wear.
Did you say you were like, did you have to be 18 or something?
17. Or? Yeah, I was like 17 or 18. And I would just tell them I was that funny. Age.
So you started performing in like in bars at 14.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. That's amazing. So since then, what's happened?
Since then, I've basically done that all in Houston.
Okay.
And so now I have basically one of the greatest jobs you could ever ask for. I work for this booking company out of Las Vegas called Steve Byer Productions. And basically they do most of like all of the entertainment for Tillman Fertitta and like for the Rockets and for all of his lounges and restaurants, different things like that. So basically any entertainment they need, they hire me for it. And so me and a group of other musicians from Houston, I've traveled to California to play for them. I've gone to Phoenix, Las Vegas. So it's the coolest job ever. And I work at night for a few hours. And so it's able to like
work at night at
these restaurants.
At these restaurants.
Or the lounges. Or like if there's private events, different things like that.
Like most nights of the week or it depends. Yeah.
Usually like 4 or 5 nights a week.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. So you were also in a band. You started a band, right? A while ago?
Yeah, I started a band with my brother.
With your brother. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, you decided not to do that?
I was such a bitch.
I feel like I don't want to work with her anymore.
I didn't want to work with myself. Like so egotistical. Yeah. I thought I was the hottest shit. Like, and I was working with my brother too.
Yeah.
And my brother and I are very strong personalities and we have very different working styles.
Yeah.
And now that I'm an adult, I can look back at that and be like,
was it a while ago? When was the band?
This was maybe like 4 years ago.
Okay.
I started it. We started it when we were like seniors in high school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. We played like ACL 1 year. We were doing good. I mean, we were playing like college shows, different things like that, traveling all over the Texas area to play. And then.
So at like 4 years or whenever that was, is that when you started going out on your own? Or at what point?
Yes. Yeah. So we quit the band or we stopped the band because it was just too much tension, too much fighting all the time. Mm-hmm. Mostly because of me, mostly because of the members, you know, just it was a bunch of drama, a bunch of people who think that they're too good.
Yeah.
We all had egos and that's what happens when you're a musician and you're a teenager.
I'm sure. Do you prefer being on your own now? Like this is much more your speed.
Yes. Got it. 100%. Cause I like being my own boss.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm not in the music industry, but even my own stuff, I'm like, I like doing my thing.
I feel wrong for saying that, but also at the same time, I just like doing my own thing.
Yeah,
I like
it
being
works
my own
for
boss.
You.
Yeah.
That so okay. So now, do you tell everyone about like what you're currently doing in terms of like where they can hear you sing like right now? I guess at these restaurants and mostly.
So I mostly play at Mastro's in the Galleria area, Vic and Anthony's in the downtown area, and then this new lounge in the Woodlands on the top of the West End called Como Social Club. They're all really awesome.
That's
I love playing at these places. In terms of just me with my solo music, I'm going to be playing the River Revival Festival in New Brunfels this September, which I'm so excited
about.
That
is awesome.
I'm going to be playing at Axelrad in August.
Like here in Houston, the beer garden?
Yeah.
Oh,
the beer garden.
Cool.
My first time playing there, actually.
That's awesome.
I've never done that before.
Oh, that's really cool. And then do you have a CD, a single? What does an EP stand for, by the way? Is it pathetic? I don't know.
It's an electronic. Wow, I should know this.
It means a single, right?
It means like an EP is like a collection of singles leading to the album, basically.
Okay, so whenever I see, because you have an EP. Am I saying this right?
I have an EP out. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And that means, okay, so I always thought an EP, I actually didn't know what it was. And so when I see EP anywhere, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? does that mean a single? So it means multiple singles.
Yeah, it could be like, these are the singles that we're trying to push to make radio.
So you have an album. You have a CD, or not?
Not yet.
Okay,
yeah, it's an EP. I have an EP that I released.
Got it.
Years ago.
Right.
Like 2.5 years ago. And then right now, it's kind of hard to explain. I'm making this whole system so complicated. But I'm releasing a single every month to the album, and then that'll be the whole album. The album's only 7 songs.
Oh my god! Did you already release a song?
Uh-huh.
Or how many songs have you released?
Only one.
Only one. So, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I didn't think
the second one is going to be in 2 weeks.
Oh, this is cool.
I know.
I love how you're doing that. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so leading up to, I mean, not leading up to, you're still obviously like hustling, like, you know, making this whole music career happen. You're young. What so far, aside from, because I know you said working with your brother and like the kind of egos of teenagers, but I guess as you've been out on your own, what's been like one of the hardest things? Like the most challenging, has it been getting your music into the right people's hands? Has it mm-hmm. been dealing with bitchy producer? I have no idea. But like what's been like so the most challenging for you?
Yeah. Oh, that's
or just
question.
As a musician in general.
Yeah. The most challenging thing, the great thing about this job that I have with this booking company in Vegas,
yeah,
is that it is able to provide so well that it not only helps me with my living expenses, but it has basically funded this entire record.
Oh my gosh.
Including music videos and everything. That on top of just me getting my own private events, different things like that. But with that being said, it's very easy to kind of slip into comfortability and just be like, oh, I'm making so much money doing this. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe the push doesn't need to be as hard. Like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I don't need to. No, the push should always be. In fact, so many musicians will tell you, like, when you take the comfortability out of your life, that's when you start pushing the hardest.
100%.
And I feel like I don't want to lose that income right now to push that hard, because that is the reason why I'm able to even fund these projects in the first place. But at the same time, it's just like,
you can't get complacent and just
It's a constant struggle of me being like, do not become complacent.
Yeah, so that's
I'm not
challenge.
Allowed to.
So you have to constantly like remind yourself of that and be thinking of that mm-hmm. because you are in a cushy situation.
Yeah,
that you love too. So that
yeah, which I love.
Right. So it'd be easier if you like hated it. Okay. So that would be challenging. So what's like your favorite part? Is it like meeting fans, people that follow you? Is it just being on stage? Like, what's your absolute favorite part about singing?
I love being in the studio.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Like overperforming live.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because that's where the magic happens, I think. It's very personal. Like this last song that I just did that's coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was in this little booth. There's a window to where my producer can look in and see me singing. And I told him, I'm like, don't look in. Because there's so many times where I'm using my body to fully like express what I'm feeling. Sometimes I might even be crying. Sometimes I might even be making like these crazy faces.
So you don't want anyone looking at, like, you just want to feel it and be in it.
I want to feel it and be in it without any pressure of like, did you catch a glimpse of that? Like, did you see what I, like,
wow. You know, so what just, I mean? Do you have your producer like literally look away or just not?
No, I just have him like scooch a little bit back.
You just don't
want to
see him.
I just don't want to see him, you know?
That's so being in the studio would be your favorite.
I love it. Yeah. Cause then you're working with the musicians and I love the musicians I'm working with.
That's
my producer,
awesome.
Travis Thompson's just a little genius. And then my, one of my recording engineers, Josh Moore. I mean, he just worked with Leon Bridges in Nashville.
Oh my gosh.
On one of his projects. I mean, like the people I'm working with are geniuses.
Yeah. And did you connect with them all through your current job or just through random
connections? Wow. Yeah. Just through people I already knew through the last band or people I know through now. It's,
right.
Yeah.
What about, I think I read it somewhere. You opened for Jordan Sparks. Am I making this up?
Yeah.
You opened for Jordan Sparks. I love her.
Me too.
Was that awesome? Was that for a concert she did?
It was for a human trafficking awareness event.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
she was
so
like
cool.
the main artist. And then I opened for her.
That's so neat. Where's that like? Yeah. That has been awesome.
It was amazing. Jordan is so cool.
She's talented.
Yeah.
I literally know her from American Idol. Like
yeah.
Did you ever audition for any of those kind of shows?
I auditioned for The Voice one time.
Did you?
I never say that. Try to keep that under wraps.
No, I love that you did. That's awesome. I didn't really watch The Voice, or I don't watch The Voice, but American Idol I always got sucked into.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone. I
do like American Idol over The Voice. Maybe
do
I shouldn't say that, but I don't care.
They're not listening. So what in terms of how you would describe your music, or who's an inspiration in terms of another artist out there, who would you say is your biggest inspiration musically?
I think I just gulped in the microphone.
Did you? It's okay, I can cut that. And if not, everyone pretend you're drinking champagne with us.
Oh man, biggest inspiration.
That's probably hard.
I know. Can I list more than one?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay.
Go, girl.
Amy Winehouse.
Mm.
Of course. Ella Fitzgerald. Raphael Sadiq. Leon Bridges and John Mayer.
That was a good list.
I love, they're all kind of similar.
Yeah.
But way different.
Yeah. Because you, like, to describe your music, well, tell me if I'm getting it sort of correct. It's kind of, I'm really bad at describing shit, especially music. So, but like kind of soulful, not so jazzy, soul meets southern. Okay, you just tell us. Was I on the right
yeah,
track?
You were.
It's like jazzy.
It's like, I call it jazz pop.
Jazz pop. Okay, that would have been
or
easier.
Or soul pop.
But okay, so all the words I said were right. Like jazzy, soul, little southern. Not like country, but like there's a southern.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from the south.
It's slight, yeah.
Slight, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys,
you got it right.
Describing music
ding.
So, in terms of this industry, because I'm clearly not in this industry, far from being in this industry, but how is it in terms of relationships and dating? And is it hard dating as a musician? Have you met some awesome people that way?
Oh my gosh.
Is it super challenging? Like,
it's the worst.
Okay. I didn't want to like say, but I'm like, I think I've heard, but not, I mean, tell us about it.
Well, I don't really date people in the industry.
Okay.
So the only hardship that I've seen in dating is that because I'm always on a platform and because I'm always like in the spotlight and stuff like that, men feel so emasculated by it. It has been so hard for me to meet men that are completely unfazed by my career or the fact that I'm like giving interviews in Washington or giving interviews to people like you and just like, yeah, like she's just kicking ass. She's doing
like
her thing.
Inferior, like they feel like not threatened, but not good enough. Or
I don't even know. I don't even know what it is. Maybe it's a mix of just feeling inferior or not good enough, or like I'm always gonna be kind of a bigger personality. Mm. Which in real life, I'm actually not a big personality. I feel like I just have to be like that because
when you're on stage and
because of my career.
Yeah,
but like no one scratches the surface enough to see that part. And then when they do see that part, they're still like, yeah, but then there's this other stuff like your on stage personality and the fact that you're always giving interviews and you're always writing this music about your personal life and stuff.
Sometimes
and I'm just
like too much for some guys.
It's too much for a lot of guys.
So do you think if you dated within the industry, that would be easier in terms of them understanding it?
Maybe. Or harder? I've never even thought of that. I've never even thought about dating anyone in the industry.
Like you never have dated anyone in the industry. No.
I've only had one boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Was it long term?
It was like 2 years.
Okay. So that like one serious boyfriend and that was the reason.
I was a late bloomer.
Were you? That's sometimes better, right?
Sure.
But did that relationship come to an end due to your profession? Was that like why that you don't have to like give all the details?
No.
Okay, that wasn't the main
reason.
Know
that I did get little hints of my ex feeling emasculated by my career.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the main reason. I think it was that and a whole lot of other things. I mean, it was just like that relationship was completely. I should never have. That was 2 years.
Like it wasn't right from the start.
It wasn't right from the start.
Okay.
And I should have, because it was my first relationship. I didn't know. I was naive.
Yeah.
I got sucked into it.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
And so when it ended, it was a mutual ending.
Oh no.
Oh no.
I was so in love with this guy. I was like ready to marry him. I had money in my savings for our wedding. And like just one day he was just like, I'm not in love with you. Just like that.
Shit. Heartbreak sucks. How was your experience going through that? I mean, heartbreak's never easy.
It was the worst thing.
The worst thing in the world.
It was so bad. Because I think that whole 2 years is almost a blur. Because I lost all sense of who I was. I've always been this really strong, confident woman, always very sure of myself, never had body negativity.
Yeah.
And that relationship like stole all of that from me. Like I feel like I became this not confident, like my whole career, my whole life became about what can I do to make you happy?
Like
and it was a very always trying to please him and just like
But it sounds like that's like a typical, not in a bad way, but a first relationship. Like, kind of like, I was who hasn't done that? But it's hard.
Yeah. No, it was lesson learned. That was my first relationship. Yep. Things that girls are probably learning, like, way in their teens or early 20s. I learned later in my mid 20s.
Okay, and but at least it wasn't in, like, your mid 70s. I don't know.
You're right.
I didn't know what age to go without, like, offending anyone, because I'm not trying to, but I was like, I'll just go 70.
70, that's old enough, right?
No one's old enough. But it's hard. How did you, like, what advice would you give to someone going through a similar situation right now in terms of a breakup? Like, to me, my really bad breakup, it's like a death. You're like mourning the loss. Oh, yeah. It sucks. Like, how did you get through it?
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's like,
where's my phone? Where's my list?
We'll get another bottle of champagne.
Well, my advice for any other woman that's going through this, especially young women, is my ex was very unappreciative of me and what I did for him. And there's no reason why a strong woman should be in a position where she feels like that. And so my advice would be, set the standard from the beginning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't ever let it get to that point. Because once you let it get to that point, it's too late. You're probably in love with him. Mm-hmm. He's probably known how to manipulate the situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, don't ever allow a man to let you feel that way about yourself. That's complete
bullshit.
But you
almost need to, like, catch it before it's too late. So catch it early on. Have those conversations. Yeah. Catch it early on, because you're kind of like, I feel like at the beginning, it's that honeymoon phase, the sparks, that it's like you're blinded by that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
But, like, when you were going through the breakup, like, were your friends there for you? Or did you need to be alone? Like, what was your thing day to day?
It was phases. I mean, like, sometimes I wanted to be alone. I took a lot of solo trips.
Yeah.
I took some of my savings from the wedding.
Yeah,
and I was
just
like,
I'm
going to go on these trips. I went to Alaska. Mm-hmm. I went to Australia. I went to Vancouver. I went all over the place. Yeah. And I was just like, I want to learn how to be alone, and mm-hmm. what's a good way to expedite this process? Oh, go on a trip alone.
Go on a trip.
You know?
Totally.
And I got on dating apps while
these
trips.
Okay, so let's talk about it. So what apps were you on / are you on them now?
No, I'm not on them
now. Not on them now. Okay.
I made a promise to myself. I was only going to get on dating apps while I was on these trips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just a way to meet people while you're away.
Just a way to meet people and a way to learn how to date again without feeling guilty for...
Right.
Dating other men, and, you know, like, my relationship being over, you know?
Right, right.
So I was on Bumble in, like, Alaska, and I went on two dates with the same guy.
That's so fun.
Super great guy. I mean, he didn't pressure me for sex, didn't pressure me for anything. I mean, it was
Would it have continued, or you weren't looking for a relationship? Like,
you were traveling. I wasn't looking for a relationship, and the guys that I had been on dates with, they all knew that. They all knew, like, she's here in town.
Just, like, meet and hang out. That's cool.
It was awesome.
So you're not on apps right now or any?
No.
Are you dating anyone right now?
I'm not dating anyone.
Are you dating? Like, you're too busy with, like, work to even think about it?
I'm too busy with work to even think about it. I've decided to kind of take a little respite from dating about 6 months.
Okay. It's been 6 months, or you're
No, I started this a month ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we're on month one.
We're on month one.
We have five more months to go or so.
Yeah. I mean, until the end of the year. Yeah.
Oh, so let's say Mr. Right or Mr. Perfect or whatever the fuck you want to call him comes by. Are you going to really say, I cannot?
He's going to have to wait. Wow. I'm setting that standard high, Julie.
I love that.
I'm setting it high.
That's
so from the beginning.
No matter who the guy is,
it doesn't
matter. Right now, you're not focusing on that, but come the end of the year, if he's still around, and maybe.
Yeah. If he's serious about it,
he'll wait.
He'll wait
or something.
Yeah.
Wow. That's okay. Yeah. And are you doing that just because you just needed, like, a break from it? And
I'm just so happy where I'm at right now. Yeah. Like, I'm happy where I am with music.
Yeah.
I'm happy where I am with my family.
Right.
With my...
Like, why rock the boat?
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want anything to take away from that right
now. So, end of the year. Okay. And you think, like, you really think you'll stick to that? Is it, like, a willpower thing? Like,
a willpower thing. It's probably a good thing I'm saying this on a podcast so I can listen to this back later and be like, this is public information.
Right. Going
to
be held accountable.
Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, that's wow. I love that. And so are most of your friends, so you're 26, are most of your friends dating, married, single, babies? Like, what's the status of your peers,
Definitely
your friends?
Dating or married.
Okay.
A few are married with kids.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Texas.
I know. I was just going to say, I literally on my last podcast or two times ago, we talked about how in the South, because I've lived all over, and yeah. in the South, it's like you get engaged, a year later married, a year later you're probably getting pregnant, you know,
girl,
and
yes.
there you go, and you're like white picket fence, house done, like sign, yeah. seal, delivered. But then in New York, totally different.
In California,
it's different. I'm sure it's so different. Yeah. So it's
people
such
don't
an
get
interesting...
married till like their mid-30s. Which that's how I was yeah. raised. Like yeah. I didn't really want to get married yeah. till my mid-30s.
No, that's so hey, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm above the curve right
you
now.
Are,
like,
you are.
I'm above, you know, schedule.
No, because not all my friends, but most of my good friends have. I mean, I'm 33, but they're mostly like with child or two yeah. or having another. Yeah. And like my husband and I don't even know if we want kids, but it's just interesting. Again, I spoke about this again recently with someone on the podcast, like just seeing the differences between each stage of life, like from when you're single and all your friends are single to then when you're dating and they're single or vice versa, then when you're married or they're not. I mean, it's yeah. interesting how friendships like ebbs and flows and everything. Yeah. So, okay. So, but right now everything's working for you. So.
Everything's working. So I don't want to rock the boat.
We're not rocking
no
the boat.
No picket fence yet.
No picket fence. Wait, so good. This is going to be a great transition. So speaking of fences, because I wanted to get to this next, because okay. it reminds me of last season of The Bachelor when Colton jumped a fence. You said you're currently what? That was a really good segue, guys. Just
great
everyone
segue.
Take a minute and think about the fence. So
you can't see me right now. I'm applauding.
She's
on
applauding.
My chest.
She's applauding.
On my chest.
And pour more wine as we applaud.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Do you want to
put
me too while you're going
yes,
for a while?
I will definitely.
Okay. So thank you. So
I do have a little tip while I'm pouring this.
Oh,
did
give
you
the
know
tip.
That it's actually tradition? I think it's in Japanese culture that if you're drinking sake, it's inappropriate to let someone's glass get empty.
You have
to watch it and make sure it's always full.
I knew it's a tradition you pour someone else's sake. I didn't know about the empty. Oh, we should. You need more though, girl. Your glasses.
Oh,
she
yeah.
like poured herself and I think got confused at the, I don't know what's going on there.
I was afraid
of
the foam.
Just leave it right here. Okay. So you're current, speaking of Bachelor, blah, blah, blah. So you're currently watching The Bachelorette.
This is the worst obsession I've ever been a part
it's
of.
It's bad,
yes.
right? It's bad, but I can't stop. So you've never
stop.
Watched up until
never
this season.
Never watched until this season. My roommate, Elise, got me into it.
Elise, it's all your fault.
Yeah, I'm mentioning her name on this podcast, so she knows if I ever end up in my living room, like, and no one can find me, just look up Elise. She'll know where to find me.
So are you watching, watching old episodes and seasons, or you're just
nope,
into, okay.
just this season.
Okay, so first, thoughts on Hannah.
Oh, gosh. I don't like her.
You don't? Okay, no. Why?
I think, oh man, I feel like, I don't know what I'm going to get in trouble for saying on this
I don't
thing.
Think she's listening to the podcast.
Oh man,
but
okay.
if she is, but you're explaining why. I'm sure there's a valid reason.
Yeah. So I just haven't, and I'm sure, I don't know her personally, so obviously.
You only
I'm
know
not
what's
gonna,
portrayed on TV.
I
which,
only know what's right. portrayed on TV.
Yeah.
And I know how TV works, and I know yeah. they.
The producers want good,
oh, yeah.
good drama.
Right. Yes, exactly. I maybe I'm not the right person to watch Bachelor or Bachelorette in general, but I always have an issue with women who it seems like the whole foundation of their worth or their value is put in what another man thinks of them or what multiple men think of them. And I just feel like consistently on this season, it yeah. seems like she's always falling for the men who are the most like, I'm going to do the craziest, biggest
like
thing
Luke
for
P.
you, which is why Luke P is still fucking on the
How
show.
How is he still around?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm still watching this show with
I,
Luke
I don't
P
either.
On it.
I mean, I've been watching it for years. I don't know why I'm at. I mean, I would just, I'm obsessed. So why, so like, Luke P. So Luke P at the very beginning, I liked him because I didn't know all this shit. And I'm like, he's good looking. They have good sexual chemistry. Like yeah. this is good. And then he showed his true colors. Why do you think at first I'm like the producers are making her hang on to him for good drama on TV.
Yeah.
She brought him to hometown. I mean, like, why is she still hanging on to him?
I it's hard for me to say. I don't know if it's the producers at this point.
It can't be at the final four. I don't
know.
I mean,
you never know, though.
You don't know. We don't know. That's true. But maybe she sees something in him that they're not showing us on TV. Like,
yeah. I mean, she's also young. And Luke P is also very young.
How old is she?
I think she's like 24 or 25.
And he's 24 or something.
Yeah. They're both young.
But if I hear that shower story again, how he saw the light of day or something. Like, it's, I just.
Don't get me
started. So who are your front runners? I'm sure we have the same ones. Well, there's only four. So who's your.
I love Pete.
He's amazing, but I also love
Tyler.
Is it Tyler?
Tyler. Yeah, Luke. Or sorry.
The two of them. Not Luke. Bad, not
Pete
Luke.
And Tyler.
I mean.
Yeah.
Are they not? But then I'm like, one of them I don't want to win because I want them to be the Bachelor.
I think Pete's going to be the Bachelor.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's such a good guy. But Tyler,
his body. I just want
to. And he's just like, he's so man. Like he's so man. Just always makes sure to take care of her, which that. Pete also does too. I love that anytime she brings up anything with Luke, he diverges it very quickly. He's like, nope, I'm not here to talk about Luke. I'm here to talk about you. And that's why I like Pete. It's that. Go Pete.
And go Pete. I think he is the front runner right now. But between Pete and Tyler, like I was on Twitter last night. Everyone was Pete and Tyler. Jed, I didn't know. I didn't hear this, but I guess he has the girlfriend. I didn't know.
I don't know any about that drama.
Oh my gosh, you made me feel uncomfortable. Like
I know.
They were so nasty. And granted, the producers could have just showed that. Yeah. They were not nice.
Well, you could already tell though, without the producers' work, the mom and the sister were very uncomfortable with her being. And maybe they liked the last girlfriend. Maybe they liked Jed's girlfriend.
That's what I was reading too. But then I'm like, if I were Hannah, I would have gotten rid of Jed because of the family. But hands down, like without knowing about the girlfriend, like I don't think I could have gone forward with Jed. God, they're so. Who do you think she's going to end up with?
I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I think she's going to end up with Tyler.
You do?
Yeah, because I don't think Tyler's awesome, but I don't think he's bachelor material. I think Pete's more bachelor material. But
they're not going to tell her who she can end up with.
Well, like, obviously, yeah.
Oh, you think they can? You think they can?
No.
No, but like, but you're saying that you still think she would pick, like, what if she picks Pete? Like, well, we don't know. Because, like, it's not like they're saying, well, we want Pete as the bachelor, so you better pick Tyler, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I'm really invested. When I watch the chemistry between Tyler and Pete, I think she has more chemistry with Tyler than Pete. Like, there's more,
definitely sexual chemistry, I see. Yeah,
and if she already has Luke P on this long because of their sexual chemistry, and she kind of has more... She has best of both worlds with Tyler, where, like, she's, like, always referred to Pete as, like... A bear, or a puppy dog. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree. I just,
Hannah's a woman. Hannah likes sex. I mean, she said it herself. Her, she had sex in a windmill twice.
Jed, though, right? Because the windmill was in Jed's date. Oh, we don't know. No, we don't know that yet either. Know. We'll find out, I'm sure.
We'll find women out probably tell next all episode.
But I can't wait for the episode where, I think it's next episode, where she's like, I've had sex and Jesus still loves me. Like, I'm just like, go, girl.
I just
go.
Love how she's like, I've had sex in a windmill. And then she's like, and we did it twice.
I see that. I love about her. Like, I actually think that's, anyway. Okay, so now that we've gone down that rabbit hole, so are you going to, you're not going to watch any other, like, you have no interest in watching old seasons?
Not really.
And do you think you'll watch The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'll
now you're in.
I'll probably watch the island thing. What is it called? Fantasy Island?
Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, where they're
in
Mexico. Gosh.
I think that starts in a couple weeks.
I know. I'm hooked now. I'm just like.
And I don't really watch a lot of reality TV, but I am hooked. Mm-hmm. This and Below Deck on Bravo. But that's it. Like, do you watch Below Deck? Oh, it's a good one. It's like they're on a yacht. Oh, it's so good. But I had an idea for you. I mean, not now. Maybe in 6 months, could we like get you on The Bachelorette or Bachelor? Like, you're so cute and like.
What is wrong with you?
You won't do it.
You know what I will do though?
What?
Me and my roommate have a very elaborate plan for this.
What?
You know how sometimes when The Bachelor and The Bachelorettes are all on these dates and there's like live music playing in the background?
That's an idea.
Girlfriend?
How are you going to get
that? I'm going to play some sort of romantic song and everyone's going to be tweeting, who's this Madeline Everett's character?
I love that you're like, I actually don't care about the love, but I do want my shit to be in the show. I'm like, go girl. Yes, priorities. But you could easily, like, you know how they have people, are you talking about like on the show, on the stage, or like, or are you talking just in the background of a scene?
Well, either. Like,
I could
on
totally
the stage
see you doing one of
like,
the romantic.
They did that with Jed, I think, on one date. Like, there was a country singer on stage.
Oh, I could see you doing it.
And now, like, me and my roommate, we looked up that, I forget what his name is, but
is he
we looked him up on Instagram. He has like a million followers now on Instagram.
You think it has to be because of that?
Bachelor Nation is the most devoted fan group
I have
ever seen.
Opinionated and devoted.
Yeah. Like, if you can get in that circle.
It's true. I know that's the thing, but now they've like, I think way back it was a little different, but now if you've been on The Bachelorette, then you're a contender for The Bachelor and Vice. Like, they don't pick people outside of The Bachelor world, but for the singers, I'm sure, of course they do.
Oh, yeah.
But, so you don't think you would ever be on the show, though, like, as a contestant?
Girl, I would definitely go off, like, the first night.
But you
just
want to be a part
of
that.
I'm so sarcastic. I'm a Jed. I would go on that show
to get
for
famous.
The exposure.
That's what I said.
And I would be very honest with The Bachelor. I'd be like, I'm just going to be real with you. Yeah. I'm here because of my music career.
Right.
I mean, you're kind of cute, though.
Right, you're cute. Like, sure, if this goes anywhere, but I don't really care. There have been two, not The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, but two people that had been on the shows that have been on the podcast. And I think both of them had the same answer. And it was about did you go on something about like, did you go on to further your brand or career? And one of them said back, well, why wouldn't you? Like, who wouldn't go on to, I mean, yes, great. If you find love as well, wonderful.
Yeah.
But I would, and I think I said back, like, yeah, I'd go on to promote my podcast.
Yeah. Even the people who don't have a podcast, who aren't in music, they
still, something.
When you're on that show, you become Instagram influencer. You become that status.
And,
then you're
tummy tea and fucking yes. like.
Hog, or what is it? Not Haagen-Dazs. What is the ice cream that's always on there?
Halo. Halo. And Halo top, there's something else that's a big one. Oh, like Fresh Mark or Fresh Direct. Like all those shit that they sell and everyone's buying it. And I'm not, but like they make really good money.
Yeah.
Which is the prime. Like,
once you are on The Bachelor, you are living a comfortable life.
Yes. And that's why I'm like, okay, how do I get on? But if I'm married, like I don't want to be on the show to meet someone. I just want to be on to like.
I mean, Jed did
hashtag no filter out there.
Jed did it.
Jed
so.
Did it. Although he's in the end, like to the front.
I know.
God, I have so many feelings on this. Okay. So anyway, off The Bachelorette, because for those that don't follow, probably already tuned out. So tune back in. Okay. So tell someone a piece of advice for someone who wants to break into the music industry.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Learn a little bit of everything. Be a jack of all trades. So I think I'm good at music.
Okay.
I think I'm even better at marketing. So when I went to University of Houston, I started in music and, well, when I started my whole college career, I started in music. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not saying that I know everything in music. Obviously, there's a lot more to learn. But I know the way the industry is now with social media. People aren't even signing to labels anymore. People are just using Instagram and like their own streaming to like become big. I was like, you know what I really need to learn? I need to learn business. I need to learn marketing. I need to learn social networking. I need to learn all of these other things because the music isn't the most important thing anymore. So I just knew, like, as long as I'm staying true to learning and pushing myself in music as much as I can, I need to be learning the business side. And so if you're going to try to break into the music industry at all, you need to know something about business. So I'm majored in advertising. I minored in law.
Oh,
so I know something about something.
You know, what is it? A little bit about everything.
A little bit
in
about
terms
everything.
Of what in the industry? Wow.
Yeah.
So do you know how? Like, obviously you don't. You said you had a producer, but could you like produce your own music?
Oh,
like,
I do produce my own music.
Oh, you do produce it.
Yeah. Sorry. My producer, he is a co-producer.
Okay.
But
got
until it. I worked with him, I was actually producing all of my own music, and I still am producing all of my own music. But I brought him in to kind of help me with the process also
but
directing
like
my own music
you
videos.
You can literally
and everything.
Do every like you can direct. You direct your own music videos. You do what? Like, do you style them in terms of fun? So you do it all. Like, so you literally have a jack of all trades. That's amazing. Are most musicians like that?
No, they're not.
Interesting.
Which is fine because
they have to outsource it all. They have to
outsource. And I told you I like being my
own boss. I was just
going
to say, and it works for you though. Like,
yeah,
you
and it works.
And,
so
that's busy. Like, you can't sleep.
No, I don't sleep.
Do you not? Are you writing music all the time?
Man. If I'm not writing music, then I'm responding to people on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sending music to playlists on Spotify. Like, there is, like, no rest
for
the
So do you have an assistant?
Wicked.
Like, do you have someone that works for you?
I have Mad Meg Creative.
Oh, of course. We're in Mad Meg's office right now. So you have, right, of course, so they're helping
they do
with
help.
PR.
Oh, my gosh, that has taken such a weight off my shoulders. Like, because I came in here and I was like, whatever I need to do to budget help for this because when you're writing the music, producing the music, making the music videos, pushing the music, doing all this stuff, I'm just like, I need help.
And sometimes you, even if you can do it, like you are capable of doing it, but you there literally aren't enough hours in a day, and you have to outsource at some
point. I did have to put down my pride a little bit because I am one of those people like, if I can do it all, why not do it all? But everything else was kind of suffering because I was putting my hand in so many hats, you know what I mean?
Right.
So once I kind of like helped or got Mad Meg Creative to help me in terms of like media and public relations, then I was able to spend way more time
on what you really need to be spending the time on,
which is the music videos.
That's what you're doing, right? Yeah. But you know how to do it all at the end of the day. So that's
at the end of the day. Let's get real.
Let's get real. Like, she wants to be doing it all, but she needs to sleep at least two hours or something.
At least 2 hours, right? I feel like that's reasonable.
So do you think someone who didn't start in the music world young, like when you did, but like started now, let's say they're, I mean, it's still young, but not like at 10 years old, but like 25 or 30, is there like a chance for them to be successful? Like, do you feel the industry is, I mean, I know it's a saturated industry, but like, can they be successful? Like, yeah, do you think they can make it?
There's two answers to that, because you have those people who are overnight successes, mm-hmm. but there's no such thing as an overnight success, because usually what has happened is like, who's that guy? He sings the Spider-Man song. Oh man, you can definitely tell I've been drinking too much champagne.
Was he like a YouTube, someone who was found on YouTube? One of those people?
Not Riff Raff.
I mean, I could Google it. What am I Googling?
Sunflower. What's his name? Oh, dang it.
Post Malone.
Post Malone. Ah, yes, look at me. Yes. Look at me.
I'm so proud of you.
Killing it.
No, I know Post Malone started on like someone's couch, and like there's a whole story about him.
Post Malone literally uploaded a song to SoundCloud, not even Spotify or anything, SoundCloud, and went to sleep and woke up the next morning and it had like thousands, if not millions. Just because the right playlist picked it up or the right person saw it.
So there's luck.
That's all it takes. But at the same time, Post Malone was working for 10 years.
Right.
You know, so same with me. Success. Yeah. Like, it could be the same for me. It could be the same for anyone. Like, I told you, I've been working and producing and recording and working in bars and whatever
forever.
Since I was 13.
20 years, right.
Yeah.
Over 20
years. Like, it could be an overnight success. Like, I posted this new video that I have coming out. And
the next day,
the next
wake
morning,
up to,
yeah, to a million views.
But it's not like you literally started singing the day before. You've been singing for over 20 years. I mean, like, so it's not an overnight success, technically.
There's no such thing as that.
So someone entering the industry later in life, let's say, can they make it?
I think so. Even though I just kind of contradicted myself, because I was like, it's like, you can be an overnight success, but it does take 10 years. Mm. No.
They could still make it, though.
They can still make it, because this is a crazy new industry that we're in. Labels are almost irrelevant now.
New industry meaning the music industry is just
totally
different.
The music industry, because of social media, because of the way streaming is on Spotify, on Apple Music. It created a whole new world for music, to where it's made the label irrelevant. And now
it's
labels
wild.
Are just... they're not wanting to sign you as an artist on their label anymore, because artists are now realizing, like, no, I'm not going to have you own all of my music.
Okay. Well, and then they have to give a percentage, a huge percentage, right?
A huge percentage. Like, the artists own almost nothing. I was signed to a label one time, and they still own all of my music, you know?
For music, Taylor Swift situation going down?
More like a Kesha situation, if you catch my drift with that.
I don't know if I'm catching it. Drift this way. Tell me. Wait, what?
So basically, this label, they own all of my previous music from my last EP. Oh. I had to get out of the label because of an assault, and there's nothing I could do about it. Like,
oh, Kesha's situation in that regard.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there was like
yes,
physical something or other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was the worst thing.
Did the person go to jail?
No, it's... I never ended up pressing charges. It was a very like my word against his.
Holy
and I was
shit.
Really young when it happened. And I was like, I don't really want to go through this anymore than I've already gone through it.
Like, you didn't want to be reminded of it.
No.
And they still own your music?
They still own my music.
How?
It's crazy.
Wait, but how does one, and then we need to go back to that. How does one get their music if they own, how can you get your music back? Or you can't?
I mean,
something in the contract you signed?
It's something in the contract I signed. Yeah. I was like, 22 maybe when I signed it. I mean, to get that music back, I would have to pay thousands of dollars.
But it's still your music. I mean, you wrote it.
I wrote it even before I was even signed on the label. It was music I wrote like years before I even
but like if you were
people.
To put that music out somewhere, it's sold some, like, they get money.
They get the money.
You
I
don't
get
any of it?
None of it. Not a single dime.
Is that similar situation, that only because it's the most recent one I know of, the Taylor Swift and whatever that guy is, Scooter Braun or whatever.
Yeah,
is it the same idea where, like, I don't really know exactly what's going on, but like how he owns her music, I'm like, why can't you just buy the music back? It's not that easy, I guess. Like,
it's not that easy.
Okay.
Because labels, what they like to do, especially like label managers, what they'll do is they'll kind of like track how successful you are. And based on that, they'll just keep upping the price. So really, if I ever wanted to get that music back, if the more successful I become, the higher that price gets. Because they know if you want to buy this music back, let's say I have now 100,000 followers and right. like, you know, a few thousand streams on Spotify.
Right.
They know you're worth this much. So the price of this getting your music back is going to keep going up the more successful you get. So it's a very tricky
shitty.
That's the same thing with Taylor, I would imagine. Yeah. You know?
So is that why people are, well, among other reasons, I guess, not signing with labels as much anymore? I mean, also it's easy to get your stuff out in different ways. But
there's so many ways you can push yourself
right.
into the, it's a little bit harder, obviously. Like the label will always have more connections, but at the end of the day, it's not worth them owning all of your music. There's no logic that makes that.
And is there any, what are the pros or the plus side? What's the plus side of being a part of a label? I guess you get their
just
marketing
the
and their connections. Yeah, of course.
The connections. They'll put you on tour, you know. Like
got it. So if you do a tour, you have to do it on your own. Or
I would have to do it on my own, or they'd put me on tour with somebody. Like if, say I sign with a label and on the label they have like Ciara.
Got it.
And they'll be like, okay, we're going to put you on tour opening for Ciara.
I see.
That's tons of exposure. That's tons
of... Of course. So it's being...
You know, new fans.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, yeah, I'm getting a whole bunch of new fans, but if they're going and downloading all of my music, who's getting the money for that? It's not me.
It's you. So
you
do you have an agent, or an agent would be through a label? That's like, do you have one?
I want an agent.
So
I'm
that's
kind of
obviously separate from a label.
Yeah, that's kind of
one.
Separate. I've been able to kind of float with that one for right now.
Yeah.
I'm able to use like PR companies like MadMake and myself and connections without officially having an agent.
Got it.
Which has been really great right now, but hopefully in the near future, I would love to have
an
agent or a manager or something that would kind of put me in touch with the right connections for sure.
Okay. So now in terms of Spotify and all that, like I know back in the day, like a Napster, like all that shit. So I know it's Spotify because it's free. Well, no, I guess I pay what is it? $10 a month. Not a bad thing. I know like downloads are good for you, I'm sure, and all that. But like, are you getting money when someone listens to your music on Spotify? Or like, do you prefer someone to buy it through iTunes? I assume you get more through iTunes. Or I have no idea.
Yeah, so I get more through... Oh, this chair is very squeaky. So you do get a very small percentage on Spotify. Mm. It is better to have your streams go up on Spotify.
Right.
I do get like maybe a little bit more on Apple Music iTunes. But not much more. I mean, like, you don't make as much from the music anymore as you do from like selling merchandise
shows. Okay.
That's where it comes from.
Like
the most.
People aren't buying CDs. So you're not getting money that way.
People aren't buying CDs anymore. Right, everyone streams now.
Of course. So that's not really where the money is. Like,
no,
like keep downloading on Spotify. That's great. Right. But like, you're not,
it's not where the bulk of the money is anymore, but you can still, I mean, there's so many opportunities to make a lot of money through streaming services like iTunes and Spotify. I mean, one of my friends, he would never sell out a show. Ever. I mean, he's a very small artist, but because his movie or his music has been placed in so many things and on so many like playlists and different things like that, he's making maybe an extra 20-30K a year because so many streams.
Amazing.
Playlists.
It all depends, right?
Yeah, so it really kind of all evens out. Like, I mean, he might be making that much more from streaming, but I know that I'm making more from merchandising and shows.
Exactly. So it all depends. But that's crazy how the industry has changed so much. Like, you don't even think about it. I mean, if you're not in it, of course, I'm not thinking about it day to day, but that's crazy to think about. Like, Napster was big. My Discman, I had a CD. I had a Discman I brought everywhere with me. I'm not that old.
My gosh. You're not that much older than me at all.
I know. I was going to say, I'm like, not that much older, like, but like, I had a Discman.
I feel like I did too, though.
I'm sure you did. Who didn't, right? Like, let's be real. Okay, so now going into my favorite part of the episodes where I ask really fun questions and you have to answer the first thing that comes to mind. They have like nothing to do with music. Well, maybe one or two will have to do with music.
Okay.
But it's just a fun way to round out the episode. Okay, so...
I'm not ready for this,
I know.
Julie.
Now I'm thinking, where should I start? Okay, if you could have drinks with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
I can't.
I love people's faces when I ask this question because they're like, shit, I don't know. Think hard.
Living or dead? Hitler.
Why? I mean, no, I've never had that answer. And I'm like, wow. Okay, why?
I'm so intrigued to know. I feel like my mom was a psychologist growing up.
Huh.
And so I feel like I'm very, very good at reading people. Yeah. I'm a very self-aware person that I'm also very aware of other people.
Yeah.
Including people who are sociopathic, who I think could fool anyone else just because I've picked up little tendencies that my mom has taught me throughout growing up. Even those kinds of things. So I feel like I'd be able to pick up the genuineness of him.
Right.
And the things that he believed in.
Believed in, right.
In justifying something as horrendous as the Holocaust.
Right, right.
I'm truly genuinely curious on his logic
going
in
through
that. Yeah. Or even to prevent things like that from happening now. I mean, like there's so many
to understand what was in his head and like what could have been done to not let that happen and to help prevent it. I've never had that answer. That's so interesting.
And you know he was probably a really charming guy. I mean,
I'm sure that's how he I don't know if I'm gonna get I was gonna say I'm sure that's how he got like people to like be obsessed with him.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Like I'm not sure. I mean I feel like every psychopath has a Ted Bundy
ness
about
them.
You know, like no one is going to, if you're going to come off creepy
right.
or like a psychopath,
no one's
going to trust you.
Right.
You know? So how,
it's so right.
I want to see if he
like
could
you
fool
get in his
me.
Mind,
I want to get in his mind. I want to see if he could fool me into sympathizing with his logic on that,
right.
especially with my mom. You know, having a Jewish background, it's just like, I want to know if that was
And then
real,
maybe like kick
know?
Him in the balls and throw him in the lake with like weights on his hands or something like
that.
But first,
that
let's
would be
get
after
his,
after having
after
a drink.
We, had the drink. We would poison the drink. No,
maybe I'd serve him a few more drinks before me.
Right.
You know?
Interesting answer. Okay. If there was a movie made about your life, who would play you?
Oh my gosh. Zendaya.
Oh, yes. Okay. And what would the movie either be called or like what would be the premise? Would it be your life story? Would it be.
I think it would be my life story. Definitely just the hard family life that I kind of came out of and still am trying to come out of today. The assault from the label.
Jeez.
Like just the story of a woman in the music industry. I think there is a very strong story there. I love Zendaya and everything she's ever done. I would love the movie to be called like, I don't know, Songbird or Nightingale or like Light Out, which is the name of that single that was that the label still owns, you know.
Oh my, I want to do like a whole other episode on this assault like that. I mean, I don't want to like go there now. I know because it's all like lighthearted, but I like want to. I mean, you like came out on the other end so strong and like Okay. So Zendaya.
I think it's Zendaya.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Right?
And then I'm like, you know when you say something on that? Okay. Anyway. All right. So that's who'd play the movie. All right. Now, if there was an airplane outside here, where would you want it to take you? Anywhere in the whole world?
Paris.
That was the last girl that had it. So why Paris? Do you just love it there so much?
I love it there.
Yeah.
The jazz culture there is insane. Me and my brother would go into jazz clubs and we would start crying just because we've seen so many different cultures there, so many mixed couples, so many mixed babies. Like, I know that Paris has its issues, but like, it seemed like such a nirvana to me and my siblings who grew up as mixed kids and loved jazz. That was like the perfect place for us.
Would you live there?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I would love to live there one day.
Oh,
that'd be amazing.
That's cool.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Who would say no to that? What is your not favorite song that you've written, but in general, your favorite song in the world? That has to be hard for you.
No, it's
not.
I love I'd Rather Go Blind by Etta James.
Oh, like always that's been your.
Always. It's the saddest song. It's basically talking about how the love of her life is in love and about to be married to somebody else. And there's nothing that she can do about it. Like, she's just like, she would rather pull out her own eyeballs than watch him be in love with somebody else. It's written incredible. Like the progression of the chords is incredible. And then like, you just feel so much pain when you listen to her. She's amazing.
Like in her voice, like, damn. So when you write, this isn't part of this question, this round, but this quick fire thing, but I just want to know when you write songs, how do you get into them? Do you think about like past experiences? Like what inspires your songwriting?
So in the past, I would say what inspired my songwriting is I use songwriting as like a journal entry,
yeah,
or like a diary, and basically I use it to process whatever I was going through. So like, for instance, with this past breakup, mm-hmm. In the past I would be like, you know what, like this sucks, I'm gonna write this song to be like screw you to my ex, and I'm just gonna write like a breakup song, and that's how I would process yeah. that. And now I don't know if it's because I'm older now yeah. or because maybe I've matured a little bit.
Right.
But now I'm like, no, I'm not going to write a breakup song. There's enough breakup songs in the world.
Right.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to write a song for women that says, hey, don't ever let a guy make you feel this way about yourself.
Yes.
Like, that is so much more a powerful yeah. of a message yeah. than, oh, this guy screwed me over, I hate it so much.
Right, it's right, like, right.
It's like, yeah, Taylor Swift has written, what, seven albums?
Right.
What, things like
we
that.
Have enough out there
yeah.
for that.
We now don't need any more breakup
more
songs.
Empowering.
What we need
yeah.
is
yeah.
empowering women.
I love that.
To, you know,
so is that part
moves.
Of your message? Like, that's what you kind of yeah. want to come through, want to come through in your music?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
empowering
it.
Women, empowering people. I love talking about unity.
Yeah.
Mostly because I grew up in a mixed household.
Right, right.
I'm not super pro black. I'm not super pro white. I'm
right.
not super pro women. We're,
right.
Like, my family has always been like, no, we promote unity.
Unity. I love that.
You know,
I love that.
I love being able to like kind of come from, you know, we grew up literally in the middle because
yeah.
we were
yeah,
mixed.
Exactly.
You know? So
exactly.
That's
unity. I love that. I love it. That could be the name of a movie or something.
There you go.
There you go. See, I'm on it. Okay. What is your favorite quote or motto or something you try to live by every day?
Dang it. I have it on my makeup bag.
Where's your makeup bag?
Oh,
we don't have your makeup bag with us.
No, her name is like Elise something. I'm going to completely butch this,
yeah.
but it's something like I want to make everything in my life beautiful, and that's what I want to live my life by. Or I'm totally,
I know, I like, but, I feel you. I feel
yeah,
where we're going.
I want to create all things beautiful,
okay.
and that's how people will know me. Basically,
something
that's kind
like
of
that.
The gist of it.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
Yeah, I.
Okay,
that's so
well,
great.
She'll find it when she gets home and tell me, and then I'll like
yeah.
put it in the show notes. No, I love it. Okay, who's your dream person to sing a song with, or go on tour with, or something, perform with?
Probably. Oh gosh, probably John Mayer.
Mm, yeah.
Gosh, he's so good.
He is so good.
Yeah,
damn.
I love him. I grew. He was really the only pop music we were allowed,
to,
listen
to listen
to.
Yeah.
Because my
he's
parents were
best.
Like, ah, he's kind of jazz too.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You guys can listen to
him. He's the best.
So I love him. He's also so sexy.
So I mean, yeah, it doesn't hurt,
like,
right?
Gosh, like,
being on tour with that.
Yeah.
Sharing like a bus or something.
I'm not mad about it.
But not for 6 months, because you're not dating for 6 months.
Not for 6 months. Yeah, I'll have John. I'll have my
people
call John Mayer's
Mad Meg will call John's
yeah,
people.
Mad Meg will call John's people in January. Like,
oh my God, I love it. So where is your dream place to play or sing at? Would it be at, I don't know, like a venue that you're dying to go to, or a city, or I don't know, something, somewhere?
I would love to play in Nice, Paris.
Oh.
I think that'd be beautiful. I know there's like some kind of outdoor venue
Nice.
There.
Oh.
And then also Red Rock Amphitheater,
oh,
which apparently
yes.
is, it, which I've been there, and it is the best sounding
That's what I've heard.
Theater ever.
Ever.
And it's natural. Like it's all
very
natural.
Cool.
No
you
one...
could, is that, you could play there. Is, like,
I mean, I'm not that big yet.
Oh, you're there.
Not
you're,
yet.
You're going to be playing there.
We'll talk next year.
Okay, next year. Oh my God. Wait, I don't want this to end. Okay, before we wrap up, though, tell everyone where they can follow you, where they can find your music, all those fun things.
Yes. Okay. So I'm most active on Instagram.
Okay.
My Instagram is Making Madeline, MAKING. Madeline is MADELINE.
Perfect.
I'm about to pull up the new website. I just took
nice.
The old one down because I finally got the domain that I've always wanted, which is Madeline Edwards Music.
And you
and
got
so
that domain?
I did
nice.
Get it. I've been tracking that domain for years now.
Did you have to buy it?
Yeah.
Like, do you have to buy
yeah.
it from somebody? So it's
yeah.
Matt, it'll be Matt, or not yet, but it
not
will be
yet.
Madeline
Edwards. MadelineEdwardsMusic.com.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Soon?
Very soon.
Okay.
Like within the next month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. But, and then are you on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere else?
I'm definitely on Facebook.
Yeah. Just your name.
Mad Meg has been wanting me to get on Twitter. I don't have interesting things
here. I looked because I was posting something on Twitter. I was like, going to tag you. I'm like, I don't think you're on here, but you're not. I didn't see you on there.
But maybe
I just
one
don't
day.
Think I have you fun don't really things need to say. To
like, yeah,
I'm
no,
just
if you
like,
don't,
oh,
then
today
do your
I,
Instagram thing.
I don't know. Yeah. Today I did what? Like,
when can people find your music? Literally anywhere music can be found, essentially.
Yes.
Like
anywhere
iTunes,
music can be found.
Spotify,
Tidal, YouTube.
Pandora. Or I don't
Pandora,
know.
Yeah. Pandora, yeah. Actually, yes. You can find it on Pandora.
YouTube. All those places.
iTunes, Apple
Music. Like anywhere you would listen to music.
Yeah. Anywhere you
okay,
would listen to music.
Cool. And then are there any shows coming up or anything, or just stay tuned? Like, do you have anything where people
yes,
can?
Yeah. So I do have.
Oh, right. You mentioned
Axelrad.
Yep. Axelrad.
August 24th.
I'll put it in the notes. August 24th. Okay.
I do have a secret show with So Far Sounds, but I'm not
allowed.
What do you
mean secret? Like.
It's, I'm not allowed to say when the date is
or where, like it's gonna
or
be.
Where it's. I love how So Far is set up. Basically, it's like a secret show every single time. So I'm not allowed to say where
but
or
can
what
we find
date.
Out? Like, how do we know?
I guess just go to their website.
Oh, so it'll be on their website when it
it'll
gets closer.
It'll be on their website when it gets closer. But I don't even know if they're gonna announce that I'm playing. It's literally like a pop up secret.
That is awesome. Okay, cool.
So cool.
Keep an eye out.
Like I'll drop little hints on when the date is Instagram.
Yeah.
I didn't say that, but you didn't hear that from me. So I have that in August, and then I have River Revival Festival.
In September. Wow. So you have a lot coming up.
I do.
Among
have a
other
lot.
Things, I'm sure, in time. Like, yeah. There will be. Okay, cool. So everyone, stay tuned.
Yes.
This has been. Thank you so much for doing this.
I love you. I don't want
I
this
you.
To
I
end.
I don't want it to end either. And I'm like,
our champagne isn't done.
We still have some champagne left, guys. We still have some champagne. Well, we might do another episode that's about, like, some of the stuff we didn't, like, totally dig into. Because there's so much more I want to talk about. But
yeah,
I don't want to end.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for
having me. So everyone, follow Madeline. And you can always follow me at JulieLauren14. And
follow both of us.
Follow both of us. Yes. We're fun. You can have champagne with us virtually. Okay, thank you so much. And thank you all so much for listening as always. And I'll talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.